welcome each one here. And it's been a blessing being here already, hearing from other brothers and seeing what they have on their hearts and the songs we sang, and everything was good to be here. I'm going to write something on the board before I start into this. So if you have a need to stretch your legs or something, you can do that while I do this. What house will you build me, says the Lord? And I hope I'll make it clear enough where you can understand what I'm talking about. Hopefully you will get at least a few things out of it. And we heard a lot about selfish this morning. Putting your desires before God and others. We know that a selfish life is not pleasing to God. It's not what God wants us to do, is follow after our own self. So I thought it was made pretty clear this morning. You know, we need to get rid of that ourself and follow God. And in Psalms 15, verse 1 and 2, it says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And then, that's two questions there. And then in verse 2, it says, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. So my desire is that everyone in here would walk in righteousness, walk in the truth, speak the truth, and walk with an open heart, walk uprightly before the Lord. Okay, let's turn to Acts 7. Read it a little bit in there, and then see what we can get out of that. What house will you build me? The phrase, what house will you build me, comes from the Bible, and it is a question from the Lord, from God to us. And I think it's a fair question. God is asking us, what house will you build me? And when I'm thinking about a house, is God wants to dwell in us. He wants to live inside of us. And there's a couple places where he calls that his house. The house. What house will you build me? And sometimes when it talks about a house or the temple, then it's also talking about the church. The members building the church. So hopefully that won't mess you up there any, but it says it is the same God in heaven that made you and me, made my father, my mother, the same God that made Adam and Eve, the same God that called Adam, said, where art thou? Adam, what house will you build me? Put your name there if you want to. What house will you build for the Lord? God is a God of love, and he wants fellowship. He wants fellowship with his people. He wants us to know that he cares about us. So he asks us, what house will you build me? Okay, let's read there in Acts Chapter 7, starting in verse 47. Now, somebody some time ago said that the Bible is a book of different, like history book and different things like that. And here in this chapter, it's bringing out history. And I'm just going to read a verse or two here, and then I'm going to go to 2 Chronicles And then I'm going to come back here and read a little bit more. In verse 47 it says, "But Solomon built him an house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as says the prophet." So now I'm going to page to 2 Chronicles, chapter 2, and read you a couple verses there. It's where it's talking about Solomon, where Solomon built the house, or the temple. He built a house for the Lord. And it was Solomon's dad, David, was the one that he wanted to build a house, the temple, the house for the Lord. But then God told him not to. But then he said that his son could build that temple for him, something down that line. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 1, starting in verse 1. It says, "And Solomon determined to build an house for the name of the Lord, and an house for his kingdom. And Solomon told out 70,000 men to bear burdens, and 80,000 to hew in the mountains, and 3,600 to oversee them." The reason I'm bringing this out is just to see, you know, how much effort that Solomon put in, time and effort and money and things in building a house for the Lord. And then we could go on and just read the whole chapter, and it would talk about how beautiful and how much time and everything he spent in that. I'm not going to do all of that. I'm just going to read you verse 6, starting there in verse 3. "And Solomon went to Hermon, the king of Tyre, saying, As thou didst deal with David my father, and didst send him cedar to build him an house to dwell therein, even so deal with me. Behold, I build an house to the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to him, and to burn before him sweet incense, and for the continual showbread, and for the burnt offering, morning and evening in the Sabbaths, on the Sabbaths and on the new moons, and on the solemn feasts of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. And the house which I built is great, for great is our God above all gods. But who is able to build him an house, seeing the heavens and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build him an house, save only to burn sacrifice before him?" And so we see Solomon, what Solomon built that house for. It was to do sacrifices before God, and God was going to be in that house. Solomon put a lot of time and energy in that, and he built it very beautiful. And I think in the same way, we need to put a lot of time and effort into building our house for the Lord, a house that God can dwell in, a house that God is able to dwell in and find that rest there. So going back there to Acts 7, and now starting there in verse 49, it says, "Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has not my hand made all these things?" So God is asking us there that question, what house are we going to build for him? And I'm sure that you've heard before what God is looking for in your life and in your hearts. And that's kind of what it's all about having our hearts and our minds in a way that God is pleased with it. In a way, having our heart to where God can dwell in them, God can live in them, and be a help there, or be there for us. Isaiah 66, verse 1 and 2, you don't have to turn there, I'm just going to read it. It says, "Thus says the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye built unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things has my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. That is the kind of heart, that is the kind of man that God is looking for. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Do we tremble at God's word? Do we follow after God's word? What God asks of us, do we go after the things of God, or do we follow after our own desires, our own, you know, we could say these two different houses, in which house is in us? God is looking for a house like this. Now, I'm not talking about the drawing. The drawing of it don't look very nice, but the word and the meaning that comes from this house, that's what God is looking for. And there would be many more words to put over there in that house. Who is the man that trembleth at God's word? A scripture came to my mind, and it's in Luke 18. I think I'm going to read that story there, talk about the Pharisee, the publican and the Pharisee. Luke 18, starting in verse 8 through 14. Before I read that, I might just tell you a little story, a true story, and you can take out of it whatever you want to. But I remember quite some years ago, I had just joined the church where we were going to church at, and got baptized, and then I became a member of the church there. And about 2 years or so later, some of us boys about the same age were there on a group talking about some things, some of the sin or some of the things we've done, and that the church found out and we got punished, you know, so to speak. In our way of thinking, it's maybe a little different. It was a little different than what I would look at it now. But so if you didn't keep the rules or whatever, you got a punishment from the church if they found out. Well, we were talking about some of the things we did, and we repented of it. And there was one guy in the group that was a pretty good guy. He never done anything that he had to be punished about. And he was kind of, you know, boasting about it. And well, that's good if you never sin. But I had to think of this Pharisee here. So that's why I want to bring this Pharisee out, or this story out here. 18 there in verse 8 through 14. I'm not sure if I got, okay. I'm just going to start in verse 10. It says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood, prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not like as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican stands afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So we see there what kind of heart or what kind of person that God can work with is somebody that don't have no faults, or somebody that never sins. I mean, God can't work with those people because they don't see the need of God. But somebody that humbles himself, or somebody that sees the needs in his life and knows that they can't do things on their own, they know they need a Savior. That's who God is looking for. The publican was a man that seen that he is a sinner. He asked God for mercy because he knew that he needs God in his life. God desires a surrendered heart filled with grace, love, and obedience. God's dwelling place is a temple not made with hands, but built by grace, love, and obedience and truth. The true dwelling for God is a person's heart and life, where he can truly rest, a surrendered heart. That is where God wants to dwell in, is a surrendered heart, or a heart that has room for God, a heart that knows that he needs a Savior. I encourage you and me to make room in our hearts for God. Present daily the goal is to make one's life a sanctuary where God is honored and where his presence can be experienced and cherished. God desires a dwelling place within believers' hearts where God's presence can be found through their faith and actions. You build a house for God by putting your faith into practice through your actions, becoming a wise man who built his house upon the rock. This means making moral choices that honors God and reflects his image and likeness. Building your life on the principles of God rather than following the worldly desires. It's like being a house, having a house, living in a house like this, rather as over here in that house. See, that's a house where God does not want to live. God don't live in the darkness. He don't live in defeat. He don't live in sin. But God lives over here where there is victory. Or he wants a place like that. When you think about building your house for God, what kind of house are you building? Hezekiah was told to set his house in order, for he would die. The truth is, we will all die one day. And we need to have our spiritual house in order, for we know not when that day will be. 2 Kings chapter 20. I'm going to page to that and read a verse or two from that. I think it talks there about Hezekiah there. Just want to read a couple verses. Said, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus says the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then it says, then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember. And he goes on there, he prays there, and before Isaiah was even out of sight, then God told him to tell Hezekiah that he will add, he heard his prayer and he's going to add 15 years to his life. In those days Hezekiah was sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos came to him and said unto him, Thus says the Lord, set thine house in order. It is important, you know, to have our house set in order, to have our to be right with the Lord. As we travel through life's pathway, we need to make sure that we are building the right kind of house. A house that God is honored with, a house that God is pleased, and hears our prayers. God is interested in our fellowship. He wants to dwell inside of us. And that's why we need to have a pure heart, a house that is set in order. And when I'm saying all this, I'm not thinking a house that never have any failure, somebody that hasn't failed or hasn't any failures, because we all have failures and we all have sinned. We all have done this and that. But if we confess and forsake our sins, that is what God is looking for. If we confess and forsake our sins. Make plans and make sure that your house is built on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 11:7, it talks about, you know, Noah being warned of God of things not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. To build a house for the Lord means you will have to do strange things, or it will seem strange to the world. You will have to do things that will stand out. It will make you look like a different person. And Noah experienced rejection because he was different from his neighbor. He was different from other people because he was following, doing the right. He was doing what God wanted him to do. And God commanded him to build a big boat. And I'm sure that it seemed strange to Noah. Why build this big boat? But he was obedient to God. Noah's obedience made him appear strange to his neighbors. As you obey God, don't be surprised if others consider you different. Don't be surprised if others question you. Should be able to have an answer for their questions. Your obedience might make their disobedience stand out. Remember, if God asks you to do something, He will give you the necessary strength to carry out that task. Make sure that your foundation is on Christ Jesus. Psalms 127 verse 1 says, Except the Lord built the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord is building the house for you. Except the Lord is with you, then you're laboring in vain if He's not helping you, if He's not with you. Proverbs 24 verse 3 and 4 says, Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall all the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So before you build a house, you need wisdom in knowing what to do about it, how to do it, and understanding how to, you know, if we build a house to live in, then we have to know how to go about it. If we're going to build it ourselves, We have to have a plan in place, and we're going to have to buy materials, and it's all going to have to be cut certain lengths, and this and that and the other. So it takes a plan, and it takes wisdom. But God will not leave you without giving you direction. God's desire is to give you that direction and wisdom and understanding what you need to build a house for Him. It says here that, and by knowledge shall all the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Let Jesus live in your house and fill it with precious and pleasant riches, the treasures found in God's Word. Those treasures that you find in God's Word, take the God's Word and study it and find out how to build that house for the Lord. Psalms 51:17 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Hebrews 13, verse 15 says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." God is looking for a house where He can dwell in, where He can live in, and have that rest in you. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 3. First Corinthians 3, verse 16 and 17. It says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Here it calls us the temple of God, and God wants to dwell in you, and He wants to dwell in me, in His temple. "What house will you build me, says the Lord?" And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18, it gives us a little bit of direction there. It says, "Be ye not equally yoked together with unbelievers." Be not over in this house over there with other believers, with other unbelievers. It says, "What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness?" They don't mix together. So God cannot be in both. He's only in one. "And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." There again that we see that we are the temple, and God wants to dwell in that temple and walk in them. He wants to be a part of our life and be in us. Separating from the world involves more than keeping our distance from sinners. We can't just go out into town and everybody we see try to stay 20 feet away from them. That's not what it's talking about. It means staying close to God It involves more than avoiding entertainment that leads to sin. It extends to how we spend our time and money. There's no way to separate ourselves totally from all sinful influence. Nevertheless, we are to resist the sin around us. Do not give up and give in. Just because we are around some of those things does not mean that we have to give in and be a part of it. Cleansing ourselves is a twofold action. Turning away from sin and turning to God. If we turn, we have to turn away from sin and then turn towards God. That will take us in the right direction. If we turn towards God and follow Him. In 1 Peter, I'll go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Here it's talking about the temple of God as the church being the temple of God. But I thought it was also, you know, good to bring it in here. 1 Peter 2, verse 1 through 6. It says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed to men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." We are the stones and we are to build that temple, the church, where God can also dwell, you know, amongst all of us, not just personally, not just in one, not just in me, but we can also be edifying one to another as we come together in this way and be an encouragement one to another. Building up the temple together. Chapter 2 says, verse 6 says, "Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confound." And that chief cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ, that cornerstone, and it says, "And he that believeth on him shall not be confound." That word confound simply means confused or damned or, you know, confused. "He that believeth on him shall not be confounded." So if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's that we shall not be confounded. We shall not be confused. We need the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. How will your life and your witness and your choices bear testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ in the world that we live in today? Can we say, "I am no longer my own, but yours"? The life that we live, are we a witness to the world for the Lord Jesus Christ? In Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We are to be that living sacrifice, a sacrifice that is walking around as we travel through this world to be a witness and a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, so that we can prove what is good and acceptable in the sight of God. God wants us to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, daily laying aside our own desires to follow Him, putting our energy and our desire in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting Him to guide us. And we do this out of gratitude, not because it's something that we have to do, not because somebody told me to do it, but because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me and you. He was there. He was crucified. He gave Himself. He gave His life for you and me, that we can be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And if we can get that in our heart and our mind and meditate on that, knowing what He did for us, that should make us happy. That should make us want to do something in return. And the best thing we can do, and what He wants us to do, is just to give our life to Him and be a testimony and a witness for Him. Romans 6, verse 11 through 14. He says, "Likewise reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin." Be dead unto this over here. "And alive unto God," over here, "through Jesus Christ our Lord. And let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." See, if we're living for the Lord Jesus Christ, and if He is living in us, then we will have dominion over sin. We will have, sin will not have dominion over us. We will have victory over sin. We will have victory. We will be able to overcome those things if God is living in us and we in Him. So I come back to the same question that I had at the beginning. What house will you build me, says the Lord? Or where is the place of my rest? I'm just going to read a little bit here in closing. Just, the only way to build a house for the Lord is to fall in love with the one for whom we build it. Because if we fall in love with the one for whom we build, then we keep at it. If we fall in love with the one for whom we build, then we build the best. Give our best to the whom that we love. If we fall in love with the one for whom we build, then we strive and keep striving for perfection. And this is not a perfection that will get everything just perfect and everything down pat. But I believe in Christian perfection, in scriptural holiness, in growing into the stature and likeness of Christ. Because with God, who is all truth and power and grace, all things are possible. And even one day, the church itself might be, as Jesus prayed, one in love and unity. It's not a perfection to try to get everything just perfect and without failure and all that, but perfect in knowing that if we have failed, if we have sinned, that bring it to God and He will forgive us. And just be perfect in that way, in a sense that God can live in us and we with Him. As we journey through this life, and I think that's all I have. Hope there was something there that you could be edified with. And why don't we just pause for a word of prayer yet before I...